Chapter 2, The Message. The campus continued filling up, more students arriving, cars pulling up in front of the 116th Street gate on Broadway, piling their suitcases and trunks into carts, which were then trundled noisily over cobblestones and finally wheeled up ramps and into dorms. By nightfall, campus parties were cranking up everywhere. Music filled South Field, some from live bands playing in the front halls, others from individual students setting their speakers on their windowsills and blasting their playlists out into the chill night air. As the hour grew later, the music and general caterwauling gradually wound down and finally ceased. The campus became silent again, at least as silent as it ever gets, given its urban setting. Ever-present was the hollow white noise background of the great metropolis, sounding at a distance like a seashell held to one's ear. While the parties had been going on, I had made the rounds, looking up friends and saying hello to acquaintances. However, I was careful to be back in my dorm before midnight. According to the rules laid down by the disciplinary committee, I was required to be back on my floor by that hour each and every night. However, as I stepped off the elevator, I noticed that at the far end of the hall, a party was still underway in the fifth floor lounge. I decided to wander down and check it out. The party had clearly been going on for some time. It had reached that mellow stage where the music has been turned low and the partygoers were all conversing in hushed undertones. Not only was the music and conversation held low, but the people were low too. No one in the room, with the exception of myself, was actually standing. Bodies were draped everywhere. On the furniture, like sea lions lounging on rocks, and also sprinkled about in pairs and groupings on the floor. Not an orgy by any means, more like the latter stages of a slumber party. Looking about, I noted that Larry Magnolia was nowhere in attendance. Therefore, I elected to hang out for a while and get to know some of my new floor mates. The group made me welcome. In no time at all, I was flat on my back on the floor, with my head resting on an obliging female stranger's lap. She was stroking my forehead, while another, and I swear I'm not making this up, was holding hands with me as she fed me green grapes and cubes of Swiss cheese off a paper plate. A common feature to nearly all floor parties those first few days back is that they all tended to embody fast-track socializing. As the assorted eddies of conversation flowed on, the overall volume kept inching up, especially whenever laughter occurred. And even though whispered voices sprang up every now and then, urging us all to keep our voices down, inevitably the noise level continued to climb, with each person's voice competing to be heard above the others. All of a sudden, Larry Magnolia materialized in the doorway, showing up virtually the same way he had at my door when he had stopped by to give me his reverse welcome wagon. His chin was taking the lead again. He marched over to the sound system and jabbed angrily at the off switch. "That's it. Party's over. Lounge is closed for the night. I warned you this would happen if you couldn't keep your voices down." Another student dared to challenge him. "But lounges are supposed to remain open all night." "And people on this floor have a right to get their sleep," he said, ignoring the detrimental effect his own raised voice was having on that objective. There were some soft boos from the gallery. Magnolia answered, "Tough luck. That's just the way it is." At this moment, he happened to notice me lying there, and his ire was kindled even higher. "Robinson, just what do you think you're doing? You're violating your probation already?" "Actually, Larry, I don't believe I am." Once again, ignoring his own injunction, he raised his voice. "Yes, you are. Your curfew says you have to be in your room by midnight. Actually, I believe it says I have to be physically back on my floor by midnight. And as you can see, if he had been wearing hobnailed boots, I'm sure he would have begun stomping on me right then. But as he was wearing thick athletic socks with moccasin soles, he modified his attack from a stomp into a kick that struck me in the upper calf. No harm done, except it forced me to uncross my legs and didn't allow Larry to fully vent his fury. "Get to your room now, Robin's ass, before I kick you down there myself. And don't ever, ever try splitting hairs with me again." Without question, I had been foolhardy in deliberately taking him on. But I was still sore over his earlier treatment. And, truth be told, I was obviously also playing up to my audience, especially my volunteer harem, who were nodding their support and looked like they might be susceptible to that old saw that says women are naturally attracted to bad boys. Who could be more alluringly bad than one who, on his first day back, was already on probation? The party broke up. I returned to my room and to what I thought was the end of my first night back on campus. However, not quite. Utilizing the sink in my room, I washed my face and brushed my teeth and then climbed into bed, where I fell asleep almost immediately.